Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's our text. We're in a series titled One. Today we're going to be talking about one hope. One hope. So let me ask you a question. What are you hoping in? What are you hoping in? Maybe it's, the stock market. Maybe that's what you're hoping in. Maybe it's many, many, many good years of retirement. My dad retired at 66 and died at 69. He didn't have many good years of retirement. Maybe you're hoping in a great career. Maybe that's what you're hoping in. Maybe it's good health. What is it that you're hoping in? As believers in Jesus Christ, we have only one hope. Paul says there's one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. That's what the Bible teaches. We have but one hope. And Paul wants us to know that our hope has a name. Our hope has a name. What is it? Listen to these words in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is our hope and what follows when He returns. You see, Paul says that we have but one hope. Not multiple hopes, just one hope. One hope. There's no, not multiple hopes. There's no S. It's just hope. That's what we have in Christ. We have hope. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach that there are two hopes. They teach the earthly hope, and the majority of them will live here on the earth. That's what they believe. And then there's the heavenly hope, and that's only for the 144,000. Everybody else will live here. Now that's two hopes. Two hopes. The Bible says there's only one hope. There aren't two. Paul says our hope is Christ is the hope of glory. That's our hope. But what exactly is hope? Hope is confident expectation. It is not wishful thinking. It is not like a little boy at Christmas just hoping, wishing, that he would get a new bicycle or whatever it is that he wants. Ours is not wishful thinking. It is concrete, solid hope. It is Christ. Christ in the hope of glory. You see, the world hopes in many things. The world hopes in money, in health, politics, retirement. The church hopes in one thing and one thing only, and that is Christ, the hope of glory. If Christ is your hope, then when all things fail, hope doesn't. Hope remains. But if Christ is not your hope, when all fails, you're up a creek without a paddle. The Bible's clear. So, what are we hoping for? What are we hoping for? Listen, if your hope can rust, if it can crash, if it can die, it's not hope. It's not hope. And only Jesus qualifies as our hope. He cannot rush, He's not going to crash, and He's not going to die. Paul says, Christ, the hope of glory, that is the hope that we believers in Jesus Christ have. And we all have the same hope. And hope has a destination. It has a destination. You see, Paul prayed in Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 18, that we would know the hope to which He's called us. Do you know what it is? Do you know the hope to which He's called us. Well, it starts with the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what it starts with. You see, we're waiting for the blessed hope. Listen to Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're hoping for. In Romans chapter 8, when Christ Jesus returns, our bodies are going to experience resurrection. And there's going to be renewal. And so listen to what Paul says. I thought I had Romans 8, verse 23. Well, since I don't, I'm going to go over and read it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 8, verse 23. He says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our bodies. What are we waiting for eagerly? The resurrection. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're hoping in. That's our hope. When we die, Christ is going to raise us up from the dead. And when He does, we're going to experience resurrection, and we're going to receive new bodies according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. These new bodies will be just like Jesus' glorious body. Not different, just like. The same body Jesus had when He rose from the dead is the same body that you're going to have and I'm going to have. We receive the body that is necessary for life here in this world. And we're going to receive a body that is necessary for life to come. That's what the Bible teaches. We have this tremendous hope in Jesus Christ. And when He comes and we're resurrected and we receive new bodies, then we're going to go and we're going to be with God forever. That is the hope of Christians. We will be with Him forever. And there will be no more pain, and there will be no more sorrow, and be no more sickness. All those things, John says, will have passed away forever. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And I'm ready to shout with the Apostle John, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. It's exciting. We have tremendous hope in Christ. But also, I want you to see that our hope creates unity. And that's the thing I've been stressing all the way through this series, is that God has called us to be one. And these statements of faith are supposed to bring us together, not pull us apart. In some cases, it's pulling people apart. And that's astounding, because that's not the purpose of these. So, our hope creates unity according to Ephesians chapter 4. He says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you wanted to call God, His number is 111111. That's His number. So God is one. He calls us to be one. And listen, churches split over worship style. They split over preferences. They split over politics. But no church splits over the return of Jesus Christ. Now, they might split over what happens when He comes back. But no one splits over Him coming back, because we know He's coming back. All faith, all people believe that Christ is going to return again one day. You see, that is an anchor that holds firm. It holds firm. We believe in the return of Jesus Christ. And if we keep our eyes on the finish line, then we can walk together. We don't have to be divided. We don't have to experience schisms in the body of Jesus Christ. We can walk together. Soldiers in a foxhole, you know, they don't argue over politics and music while the bullets are flying. They are united in the hope of going home in one piece. That's what they're united in. Very much so. And here's the reality. When Jesus Christ comes back, we are going home. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Now, I have a couple of thoughts that I want to give you on maintaining unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Two thoughts. Number one, we need to focus or major on the majors. Major on the majors. A lot of people want to major on the minors. Here's the reality. One hope is non-negotiable. Worship preference is negotiable. Doesn't matter how you do it. We can start with a prayer and then have the sermon and then have songs and then the Lord's Supper. We can start with the Lord. It doesn't matter. Preference doesn't matter. That's not important. And no church should split over worship preference. The way we do it. The way we order our service. You may not like it, but we shouldn't split over it. And that's why we need to major on the majors. Focus on what's important. What's important is one hope. One hope. Not the order of our worship. It's not that important. But yet it's amazing how many churches have split over such small details. Silliness. God is calling us to be one. But secondly, talk more about heaven. Talk more about heaven. Hope talked about grows stronger. The more you talk about it, the more you dwell on it, the more you think about it, the more that hope becomes stronger inside of you. And let me just say this. Dwelling on heaven more is not going to hurt you. It's not going to cause you to have a bad day. I think it's going to help you. And it's going to encourage you to focus on what matters and what's important and not on the things that don't matter and that are not important. Paul says there's one body and there's one spirit and there's one hope to which all of us have been called. And so we have this hope because Jesus Christ came and He died for us and He rose from the dead on the third day. Our resurrection is guaranteed because His already happened. Because His has happened, we know ours one day will happen. Remember, it's Christ, the first fruits. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, Paul speaks of the resurrection. In verse 20, Paul says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." He's the first fruits. First Christ, then those who believe at the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. He died, He rose again. We die, and when Christ returns, we will rise again. And we will go to be with Him with our glorious new bodies. We have one hope. And this hope should unite us, bring us together, not pull us apart. And so, what is your hope? What is your hope? If it's not in Jesus, you don't have hope. You have wishful thinking. The only way that your hope will ever be solid is to put it in God, to put it in Christ. If you put it in anything in this world, anybody, anything, it's just wishful thinking. You're just hoping for a great outcome, and you're not going to have one. And Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Do you believe that Jesus is He? Do you believe that He's the Messiah? Do you believe that God sent Him into the world to die on the cross to pay humanity's sin debt? Do you believe that? Have you responded to that good news? Because there needs to be a response. Just knowing that Jesus died and rose again doesn't save anybody. You have to appropriate that message to your life. And how do you do that? Well, the Bible says we do that, first of all, by believing. By believing, right? Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith. Faith. You believe. And if you genuinely believe in Jesus, you will do what Jesus says to do. And he calls us to repent. That's the second thing we do. Third, we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ that he's Lord. And then fourth, we are united with Christ in the waters of baptism, which he commanded in the Great Commission. He said, go and teach all nations the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By doing those things, you appropriate the blessings of the cross to your life. And so when you do that, then you become a person who is born again. You become a child of God. You enter God's family, God's kingdom. And so this morning, we're going to sing a song. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is to encourage you to come. But maybe you have another need. Maybe there's something else going on in your life that you really need to pray about, and you want the prayers of others. Well, come and make it known, and let us pray with you. We would love to pray with you about whatever is going on in your life. So whatever it is, make it known while we stand and sing.